Can I add my welcome to that of Henry's? It's so wonderful to see you all. If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And just while you're doing that, if you've come in a car this morning and your registration plate is ML71XMV, if you would be kind enough just to move it, somebody needs to go who is blocked in. We are in Psalm 147 this morning. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and rules to Israel. He's not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his ways. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We are beginning a new series this morning on the theme of worship. The reason we come to church on a Sunday, the reason we worship God is to meet with him, to encounter him, to engage with him, to come face to face with him. That's why we gather on a Sunday. And here at St. Clement's, we have an order in our service that helps us do that, that helps us encounter God. We begin with the call to praise, and we sing, we come to a time of confession, then we pray, we read and hear God's word, and we finish with a blessing. And over the next few weeks, I want us to look at those five aspects to our service. And the reason I want us to do that is because it's so easy to come to worship and to go through the motions. And to do what we do because we always do it and fail to encounter God in our worship. And so this morning, we're going to look at each one in turn. And so this morning, we're going to look at the cult of worship, at praise. And there's three things about praising God that I want us to see from Psalm 147. I want us to see the call to praise, the reason to praise, and the desire to praise. The call to praise, the reason to praise, and the desire to praise. So first of all, the call to praise. The book of Psalms ends with five psalms which begin and end with the phrase, praise the Lord. Actually, in the Hebrew, it's one word, which is the word alleluia. It's almost like a chorus of praise at the end of the Psalms. Now, that word alleluia is made up of two words. The first is allelu, which means simply to praise or to honor. And I think these psalms begin and end with that call to praise because we as human beings were created to be people who praise. That's why the world is full of praise. Because we want to be people who connect with something greater than ourselves. And so we have to praise. The world's full of people praising things. We praise our friends. We praise our loved ones. We praise the weather. We praise restaurants. We praise food. We take photographs of food we eat in restaurants and post it on Instagram. That's praising the food that we're eating. We were created to be people who prays. But the second part of that word, alleluia, is the word Yah, which is a shortened form of the word Yahweh, which we translate in the Bible as Lord in capital letters. You see, in the Psalms, there's two, and in the Bible, there's two main words for God in the Old Testament. One is the word El, which means God, and in that word is the idea that God is great, God is glorious, God is up there. And there's the word Yahweh, which is God's personal name. Maybe one of the ways we can describe the difference is if you met King Charles, then you'd probably address him as Your Majesty. But if you became King Charles's friend, he would probably say to me, he'd probably say to you, call me Charles. When God says, call me Yahweh, he's saying, you're my friend, I have a relationship with you. It's the personal name of God. God isn't just somebody up there who's great and glorious, but somebody down here who we can know, who we can love, who we can have a relationship with. And so as we come to praise, we're coming to praise the Lord who we know personally, who we have a relationship with. And so the question for us this morning is, do you have a relationship with God? Do you know him not just as God up there, but as your Lord in a personal relationship with him? But then the psalm tells us why we should praise the Lord. What's the reason to praise the Lord? That's the second thing I want us to see. And we see that in verse 1. We're to praise the Lord because it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and a song of praise is fitting. Why should we praise the Lord? Because it's good, it's pleasant, it's fitting. What's the psalmist trying to say by saying that? He's trying to say this. He's saying, you should praise the Lord because of the joy and pleasure it gives you to praise the Lord. You should praise the Lord because you delight to do that. It gives you joy to praise him. You enjoy doing it. We do this with many things in life. We do this with sports teams. Why do people spend hundreds and thousands of pounds to watch their favorite sports team, their favorite football team? What do you get out of going to the Etihad or to Old Trafford? You go because you delight to watch these players play. That's all you get out of it. And the psalmist is saying, in a similar way, the reason you should praise the Lord is because you delight to do that, not because you're going to get anything out of it, apart from the joy and the pleasure it gives you. That's why the psalms always say, delight yourself in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, be glad in the Lord. Because if you find the Lord a delight, you will want to praise him. We praise what we delight in because praise expresses our joy. And it completes our joy. You know, when a football team scores a goal, the announcer over the tannoy doesn't have to tell the fans to cheer. He doesn't say, Okay, Manchester City have scored a goal now. It is time to clap. Cheering is an automatic response of the fans to what they've seen because they delight in that. It happens immediately. It happens automatically. And the same is true with praise. Why do we praise the Lord? Because it's an automatic response of our delight and enjoyment of God. That's why the psalmist says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Because if you delight in the Lord, you will want to make a joyful noise to him. You'll want to shout for joy. You'll want to clap and dance and raise your hands. You'll want to express your joy in the God in whom you delight. You see, one of the tests of spiritual maturity, and you can test yourself, is how much do you like praising the Lord? Your prayer life, how much of your prayer life is filled with praise rather than petition? It's good to ask God for things. It shows a reliance upon him. But if you delight in someone, you'll want to be praising them. That will be the first thing on your lips when you come to church. Do you come to church because this is what we do on a Sunday? Or because we want to, for whatever other reason? Or do you come to church because you delight to praise the Lord? We want to enjoy praising him. Now, there are consequences and results of praising the Lord. The first is that it honors God. You see, when you delight in God, what you're saying about him, when you delight in the Lord, what you're saying is, God is not just a fact to be believed, but a person to be enjoyed. God is not a series of facts about whom we believe, but a person who we have a relationship with, who a person to be delighted in, a person to be enjoyed, and that honors him. You know, imagine it's date night at the rectory, and I come home and say to Jill, Jill, it's date night, you know, can I take you to your favorite restaurant, KFC? She's a cheap date. Now imagine she responds to me and says, why do you want to take me out on a date? Why do you want to take me to KFC? If I respond by saying, because I have to, it's my duty, I'm a husband. Husbands, that's what they do, they take their wife out. That doesn't honor her. But if I say to her, I'm taking you out because there's nothing I'd rather do. I'd rather take you out on a date. I'd delight to do so. I'd rather take you out on a date than watch Blackburn Rovers. And the same is true with God. When we come to church and praise the Lord and delight it to do so, we're saying, I'd rather be here praising you than watching the footy. I'd rather be here praising you than doing anything else because you are my delight. It honors God. But the second consequence of delighting in God is that it does you good. Now, we don't worship God in order to get stuff from him. God is not a slot machine, and we put in our hour and a bit of praise and outcomes, blessing, good health and wealth and success. That's the prosperity gospel. It's not the true gospel. But we do benefit as we come to worship. I was reading through Psalm 73 recently, and in Psalm 73, the psalmist is filled with envy and jealousy. You see, he sees bad people happy, wealthy, healthy, successful, and popular. And he has lived a good life, and things are going belly up for him. And he's envious, he's jealous, and he almost says to himself, what is the point of being good and living my life for God when these people who are living bad lives are not only not being judged by God, but their life is going so smoothly? And then he comes to the temple. He comes to worship. He comes to praise God. And as he's praising God, something happens. He has a reality check on life. He sees who God is. He sees that he's his Savior. He delights in him as his Savior. And he looks at the injustice of it and says, I'm going to leave that with you. And as he does that, as he leaves the injustice he sees to the God he delights in, envy is broken in his life. You know, I've known people who've come to church with grudges and bitterness and unforgiveness in their hearts. And as they have worshipped and praised the Lord, something has broken in their life. As they've seen the God who has forgiven them and met with him, they're released from unforgiveness towards that other person. You see, worship changes us. There's something in us. We are, naturally speaking, we are turned in on ourselves. We are selfish people. We are self-absorbed and self-centered. And so we come to church in that state. But as we praise the Lord, our focus is moved away from ourselves to the Lord who loves us. And it changes us. It breaks those chains. It frees us. Like the man who is anxious and worried, and he goes outside and just sees a sky filled with dark clouds. And then suddenly a rainbow appears. And the view of that rainbow just releases some joy in his soul. Well, that's a picture of what happens in worship. As we see who God is, as we come and connect with him, there's a light, you know, sometimes a light surprises the Christian when he sings. It is the Lord who rises with healing in his wings. You see, worship and praise changes us as we encounter God. And so the final question is this: how are we able to do that? Where do we get the desire from to praise the Lord? How can we be people who delight in the Lord and delight to praise him? Well, we get that desire from knowing God's love. From knowing God's love for us. Psalm 147, verses 2 to 18, describe God's love for creation. In verses 2 to 6, it tells us that God cares for it. In verses 7 to 11, it tells us that he provides for it. And in verses 12 to 18, it tells us that he seeks to do creation good. Now, why does a psalm that is written to encourage us to praise the Lord tell us about God's love for creation? For this reason. If God loves creation so much that he cares for it and provides for it and seeks to do it good, how much more will God provide for you and care for you and do you good because you are one of his people whom he loves more than the creation around us? You know, in verse 4, the psalmist talks about the stars and that God numbers the stars. He knows every single star by name. Do you know, it's possible to actually name a star. I Googled that this week. You can name a star for $12.99, plus postage and packaging. Because there's so many stars, there's billions and billions of stars up in the sky. But God knows each one. He cares for each one. He loves each one. How much more does he know and care and love you? And you might say to me, well, that sounds lovely. Jumpy, how can I be sure that he delights in me? How can I be sure that he loves me? Well, the center of this psalm are verses 10 and 11. God's delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. When verse 10 speaks about the strength of the horse and the legs of a man, the psalmist is picturing an army full of war horses and bronzed soldiers with rippling muscles Because in the ancient world, that was the glory of a nation. The glory of a nation was the size of their army and the quality of the soldiers and the horses. And God says, I don't delight in that. I don't delight in human strength. I don't delight in human ability. I don't delight in human goodness. I don't delight in these things. What does God delight in? Delights in those who fear him. That is, people who are humble. He delights in those who rely upon his love, his steadfast love. That word steadfast love is the word hesed, which is God's never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love, which is fully and finally expressed in the cross of Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord says here that he delights in those who look to Jesus Christ, who know God's love and rest and rely upon it. God says, that is the person who I delight in. That is the person I love. That is the person I'm going to care for and provide for and do good to. The person who has stopped focusing on themselves, who has changed the focus from themselves and their own self-centeredness and has changed direction and put their focus on God and his love, who sees that Jesus Christ has died for them. Do you see that? Do you see that Jesus Christ loved you so much? He was willing to come from heaven to earth to die for your self-absorption and self-centeredness, to be punished in your place, that you might be brought back into a personal relationship with God. Because if that is you, then God delights in you. He loves you. He will care for you and provide for you and do you good. And when you see that the God of the universe is your personal Lord and Savior who delights in you, it makes you want to delight in him. You want to delight in the one who delights in you. You want to live for the one who has lived and died for you. You want to be like him. You want to change. You want to meet him. You want to encounter him. You want to worship him. Now, as I finish, I want to speak to three groups of people here at church. And the first are those of you who are Christians, who do delight in the Lord. Well, if that's you, then as you come to church on a Sunday, remember why you're coming. You're coming on a Sunday to encounter God, to meet with the living God, to engage with the living God, to connect with him through the service. And it happens. Sometimes it happens in praise, as we sing a song, just the lyrics of a song just get you. Sometimes in the confession, as you remember stuff you've done and remember God's forgiveness. Sometimes a word from a prayer or a word from a sermon. Sometimes it's a word after the service in the prayer corner. Sometimes it's over tea and coffee where somebody just says something to you and it gets you. Because through it, you've connected with the Lord. And as you connect with the Lord like that, it changes you. Because you're amazed at his love and grace. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then my number one piece of advice for you, if you want to encounter God, is to keep coming to church. To engage with the different parts of the service. Many of us have discovered that actually, it's as we do that we encounter God. I became a Christian, like some of you, in a church service. It was after the sermon in the response song. As I reflected on the Lord, as I saw for the first time that he was the one who had risen from the dead, as I saw that, life changed. I encountered God for the first time. Maybe that's your experience as well. And if you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but you come to church and you just don't feel like delighting in the Lord, you don't feel like praising him, you come to church but you just feel like you go through the motions. Say, I don't feel like singing. Well, consider Jesus Christ until you do. Consider Jesus Christ and his love for you until you can't stop singing, Until you burst out into praise and joy and you sing and make a joyful noise to the Lord. Until you encounter the living God. Let me pray. Father, we ask that you would meet with us as we worship Sunday by Sunday. Meet with us now as we come and respond to what we've heard. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, that we would encounter you, the living God, because this is eternal life, that we might know you, the living God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Lord, fill our hearts with joy and delight as we come to worship. Help us to engage with you. Help us to know you. And help us to know that you delight in us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.